Turn with me your Bibles, please, to Proverbs chapter 29. Proverbs chapter 29. Let me tell you something before we get started. And this is true every week, whether I mention it to you or not. But there are times when it is more, what's the word I want to use, apparent to me than maybe other times. Our group is a little smaller this morning than it normally is. That is not by accident. It's not by accident that you're here. I invited all four of my children to be sure and be here this morning. Of course, we know who the good child is, don't we? Okay. Because I have something to share with you today that I consider to be extremely important. And I don't mean by that other Sundays are not as important. Okay? But this is just weighing real heavy on me. But I want you to understand that as God was speaking this revelation to me, He was speaking it to me so that I could speak it to you, because you are where God wants you to be at this particular moment. You understand that? Okay. In Proverbs chapter 29, verse 18, the Living Bible reads this way: where there is ignorance of God, crime runs wild. But what a wonderful thing it is for a nation to know and keep His laws. The King James Version says, where there is no vision, the people perish. But he that keepeth the law, happy is he. The NIV reads, where there is no revelation, the people cast off restraint. But blessed is he who keeps the law. The Amplified Version reads, where there is no vision, in other words, no redemptive revelations of God, the people perish. But he who keeps the law of God, which includes that of man, blessed, happy, fortunate, and enviable is he. Let's look at the Living Translation for a moment. Where there is ignorance of God, crime runs wild. Now, let's choose today whom we shall serve. Let God be a lie and every man a truth, or every man a lie and God be the truth. We are living in a nation where crime is running wild. And the reason is it's because of an ignorance of God. There isn't anything more ignorant. Can I say that? Then the conversations I'm hearing on TV about the Catholic Church, which, please hear me, we need to pray for the Catholic Church. Alrighty? There are some wonderful people who are very devout, very devout Catholic people. Alrighty? And we need to be praying for the Catholic Church. But when I hear a conversation that starts off with, this is what the latest development is in the Catholic Church, and then the conversation leads into whether or not priests should be married. Ladies and gentlemen, don't be deceived by the secular world. Those are two entirely separate issues. Because a married man is just as likely to be a pedophile as an unmarried man. So they have nothing to do with each other. But yet, in our society and in our media, they are endeavoring to try to link these two things together, like as if they have something to do with each other. If they have anything to do with each other, then what we should do is every married man should have pedophilia legalized for him. Because that's that same thought, just going in the opposite direction. Now, how many of you want us to have that law? See, they are two entirely separate, different issues. But because of an ignorance of God, crime runs wild. Look at the Amplified Version. In parentheses there, the Amplified says, blessed, happy, fortunate, enviable is he. Who? The person who has a vision from God is an enviable person. Or, let me put it this way, a person to be envied. The NIV says where there's no revelation of God, the people cast off all their restraint. You see, the way the Bible, another way that the Bible puts it is this. It is the love of God that constrains us. It's the love of God that's the walls on the left and the right and the front and the back that keep us where it is we need to be. Our problem is, though, is that people are endeavoring to try to indoctrinate us that God is putting restrictions on us because He doesn't like us or because He's mad at us or because He doesn't want us to have fun. Well, that's about as foolish a saying as setting up a kindergarten next to a highway and not putting up a fence. The fence is not there because we don't want the children to be happy and play. We don't want them to get killed. God says do this and don't do that, not in order to rob us of anything, but for us to be completely fulfilled in all things. But we've got to get that into our heads. We have to have purpose and vision. But there are two problems about purpose and vision. One of them is personal responsibility. Ladies and gentlemen, please hear me. No one else, no one else is responsible for your purpose or for your vision. No one else can fulfill your purpose or your vision. And no one else is responsible. It's not my job to give you purpose and vision. It's not my job to see that your purpose and vision are fulfilled. We have to take personal responsibility for our own lives. Okay, so God wanted me here. I wish He hadn't. I hear you thinking. Do you know that I am where I am today because of the choices that I've made? It's not anybody else's fault. I have my fears, my phobias, and I have my concerns, and I have my health issues, and I have my financial situation, and I have my family, all where they are because of the decisions that I've made. Now, please hear me. You know, I have children who are up at an age where they're making decisions for themselves. I don't assume responsibility for that. We got to balance is found where? In the middle, okay? But do you know why my life is the way it is? Because that's where I'm comfortable. But see, what we want to do is we want to go, oh, no, that's not right. It's my mama's fault. It's my daddy's fault. My daddy beat me twice as much as he did my brother. You know, my mother ignored me. She dropped me on my head when I was a baby. You know, whatever. You know, it's always somebody else's fault. Or, I just didn't get the education I should have gotten. Or, that teacher didn't like me. Or, you know, I never could get along in that school. Or, if I'd have had more money. If I'd had less money, if I'd lived on the other side of the tracks instead of the side I was on. We have all of these excuses that we are willing to sell ourselves and buy for where we are and who we are and what we are. We must take personal responsibility. I am what I am today because this is where I feel the most comfortable. Which is why when we change is brought about by discomfort. Because God says, oh, if discomfort will make you change, here, I can give you some of that. We force God's hand. God doesn't force ours. He comes along and says, I would love to make these changes just with your cooperation. And we go, no, that's not how I want you to work with me. I want you to tear me up. He goes, your choice. Now, we don't articulate that outside. You know, we don't say that. But, you know, the old expression about the way we live is talking so loud. Because how many of you know that we change when the pressure is so great, we just can't stand the pressure anymore? See, See, I was telling you about my sleep apnea. I had that test 7 years ago. They told me that I couldn't sleep without a machine. I said, the heck with you. Took a machine, put it in the attic, and that was it. But then when my blood pressure went up, and I was suffering from depression, and I was ill as a hornet all the time, and my hair started falling out, my vision started going, all these things contributing to the fact I was never resting, the pressure got me to the point where I went back and had to have the test done all over. See, if I'd have been listening the first time. But I said, no, don't want to do it that way.
I want to take the hard road.
And that's not what we say, but that's how we live. Now, one of the reasons why we do not assume personal responsibility is this. I just don't feel like it. I just don't feel like it. Oh, I'd change, but I'm so tired. I'll tell you what I'm tired of. I'm tired of hearing you're tired. I'm tired of hearing me say I'm tired. I'm tired of hearing my wife say she's tired. I'm tired of everybody being tired. Thank you. That's very good, George. Let me tell you something about energy. It's really a matter of choice. Because if I'm getting up tomorrow morning to go to work, when I wake up in the morning, it's all I can do to get out of bed. But if I was getting up tomorrow morning to go do something I really wanted to do, I'd be waking up before the alarm went off. Hello? It's a matter of choice. Last night, my wife's out of town for a few days visiting with her sister. So last night, Mom and Dad came over and we grilled out hot dogs and we had what we called a picnic, what we call it with the grandchildren. Picnic out on the deck. And Quentin was there and Dylan was there. And I mean, I had them for 4 hours. I loved it when they came. And I loved it when they left. I was exhausted. And I mean, at one point, both those boys got to where, at one point, I caught Quentin doing something he wasn't supposed to be doing, and Dylan was standing behind him going, go, 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 go. But at one point, they just got frustrated with not having enough to do. And I said, well, let's just go for a walk. Of the three of us, guess how many of us walked? The other two were running as far as from here to my office door and never stopped. And so I'd whistle and I'd say, run this way. And so they'd run back. And then all of a sudden, oops, we're back. And they'd run that way. My street is a half a mile long. We walked all the way to the end of it and back. We walked a mile. I walked a mile. They ran a mile. Running over to the ditches and jumping over them And then Mom and Daddy show up. Do you think them boys slowed down? No. They just wore Mama out. How many times have we said, man, if I just could bottle that energy. Let me tell you something. That energy is bottled. It is inside of you. The difference is you just got to decide what it is you want to open the bottle and let it out on. You see what I'm saying? Because what happens is that I can move real quick with a lot of energy if I catch those boys doing something they're not supposed to be doing. Because I make a choice. Do you know why children have so much energy? We think it's because they're young. No, it's because they're only doing what it is that they want to do. You see, they move through a 12 to 15 hour day not doing what you want. Hello? But going from one thing to the next thing, to the next thing, to the next thing, doing what they want. That's why they have so much energy. I could have that same energy if I wanted to get up and go to work in the morning. But I don't want to. I got other things I wished I was doing. But I can be too tired to get up and go to work. Now, please hear me. I have a tremendous work ethic. My days are 12 and 14 hours long. But I'm just saying I hit that snooze a couple of times because it's not where I want to be. Whereas, if I'm going to be working around my house, I'll be the first one up. Michelle standing at the door still in her pajamas while I'm mowing the grass going, I didn't want you to start that thing up before I got up. But I'm excited to be out there. I'm ready. Energy is a matter of choice. Energy is not like the weather. You know, we got up this morning, we said, I hope it doesn't rain. Or I hope it does rain, or whatever your hope is. I knew it was going to sprinkle this morning. I washed my car yesterday. So, I mean, I knew the windshield was going to get all messed up. But energy is not like the weather where I hope tomorrow when I wake up I'll have energy. No, it's a matter of when I wake up tomorrow, if I choose to move and get up and get about it, the energy will come. How many of you have ever been sitting at your desk, 2 o'clock in the afternoon, 2:30, 3, and you're starting to nod? And you get up and you walk down the hall to the water fountain, you get you some water, you come back, you sit down, all of a sudden you feel better. Why? Because we moved a little bit. We got the blood circulating. We got things going. The third thing I want you to know about energy is this. People remember us by our energy. Boy, they're tired all the time. They're sick all the time. They got a bad attitude all the time. Or, like we remember Quentin from last night, I wished I had that energy. People remember us by our energy levels. That person's always upbeat. Here's a good one. I just like being around them. Why? Because it's contagious. See, it's contagious to the positive, it's contagious to the negative. I don't feel good, Jerry. You feel good? No, I don't feel good either. And in a few minutes, we can have this whole room not feeling good. You know? But I'm going to tell you what, we were joking yesterday about Tybo. And somebody was saying they were on video number 2, and somebody else was saying they hadn't even got through 1. And I said, shoot, I can't even sit still and watch the video. That's just too much energy for me. You know, but I really could do it if I wanted to, couldn't I? I guess this is the point I'm trying to make right here. The energy you put out is what comes back to you. Now, y'all are saying, this don't sound very spiritual. I'm getting there. Just be patient with me. The energy you put out is what comes back to you. Because there's a kingdom in the principle that says we reap what it is we sow. It's the people who don't do anything who never get anything done. It's the people who do stuff who get lots of things done. Energy is created by the way we move. Actually, I meant to use the illustration about the water fountain right here at this point. Now, I'm going to ask you to stand in a minute, but I'm not going to ask you to do this at this moment. But do you know that if I were to ask you all to stand, move apart just a little bit, and let's all just shake our arms, shake our legs, let's jump up and down for a minute, you know, and then sit back down, you'd feel better. Wouldn't you? You'd feel stupid, but you'd feel better. Because energy is created by the way you move. But see, here's our problem. What we do is we take our aristhomodorsi and we set it down and we go, just as soon as I feel like it, I'm gonna. And what happens? We never do it because we never feel like it. And we never feel like it because we're not willing to take personal responsibility to get up and go get it done. It's going to be amazing to us as Americans when we see Jesus eye to eye and He looks at us and goes, you know, I really didn't care about your feelings. I tell that to my grandchildren all the time, just in a different way. I tell them to do something and say, I don't want to. I said, I didn't ask you what you wanted. I am the DD. And I said, you're going to do this. Quentin yesterday was digging in Michelle's flower bed, pulling her flowers up. I said, son, stop that. I wanted to play with this. I said, I didn't ask you what do you want. I said, stop. Because I really didn't care about how he felt. I cared more about explaining it. If we will get up and do something, we'll feel like doing something. Energy doesn't make you smarter, but it helps to tap in. I'm sorry. Energy doesn't make you smarter. It just taps into the smarts you already got. It helps get that blood flowing. Helps get that thinking process. But what we're doing is we're sitting around waiting on somebody to bring us an idea. And God says, if you'll give me just a little bit, I'll give you an idea. True or not true? Ladies and gentlemen, our problem is this. We don't like people with vision because they challenge us. We don't like people who are dreamers because they upset our comfort level. But God loves dreamers. Joseph was one. Remember when Joseph went to his brothers and he said, I had a dream. When he comes out to his brothers, they didn't say, let's kill this kid who daddy likes more than us. Let's kill this baby who's spoiled rotten. What did they say? They said, here comes this dreamer. Let's sell him off and we'll see what happens to his dreams then. Because dreamers, they rub the fur on the cat in the wrong direction. But according to Proverbs 29:18, without that vision, you die. Without that vision, you'll die. All right. Here's what I'd like for you to do. In a moment, I'm going to ask you to stand and get enough room between you and the person next to you that you can take your hand, extend your pointer finger, and that you can turn it all the way this way without hitting someone else. Okay? But it's also important that you're not standing at a place. I want you to watch me do it first. Okay? It's also important that you not be standing at a place that when you turn around this way, that there's a wall right there. Because here's what I want you to do. I'm going to ask you to stand, extend your right hand, put your pointer finger out. I'm going to ask you to turn until you don't feel comfortable and then mark what it is your finger is pointing at and then, or I'm not, turn until you lose your comfort level. Okay? You've gone as far as you want to go. Mark where it is your finger was pointing at and turn back around. Okay? Let's all stand. Get enough room between you that you can extend your hand and not hit anybody. Okay? Everybody's arm out. Extend your pointer finger and turn all the way around. Mark the spot where your finger is and come back. Everybody remember where your finger was? What you were pointing at? Okay, now put your arms down. Remain standing. Put your arms down. Close your eyes. In your mind's eye, see yourself extending your right arm, pointing out your finger in your mind's eye, and see that turn you just made. Just watch yourself turn all the way around till you get to that point. You see that point? Turn slowly back around like that. And then see yourself dropping your arm. Everybody say that? All right, look this direction. Point your right hand out. Point your pointer finger. This time when you turn, I want you to go to the spot where you were And then I want you to go a little bit further. You ready? Turn where you were and a little bit more and come back around. Have a seat. Do you realize that you just changed your vision with nothing more than somebody saying, go just a little bit further? Didn't you? You were standing here. Mine goes around and catches the fourth flag. Like that. All I said was, close your eyes and get a vision of what it was you just did. Then open your eyes and do just a little bit more. I'm all the way around to that window right there. I didn't have to have a revelation from God. Now, please hear me in the context I'm talking about. I didn't have to have any help from the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit already deposited everything I needed inside of me for my vision to go a little bit further. Okay? Now, please be careful with that comment. Just keep it in context. Hear me well, what I'm saying, not what I'm not saying. Okay? But everything I needed in order to change my vision I already had inside of me. And I'm willing to bet that if I would do this every day, I could get my hand to even go around there further. I'll bet that just with some minor adjustments in the way I turn my feet, twist my ankles, turn at the waist or at the shoulders, maybe if I get my head to cooperate with me, I can get around that way just a little bit more. See, the point I'm trying to make, ladies and gentlemen, is this. It's all already inside of you. You've got everything you need. You just got to change your vision. Because until you see it happen, it's never going to happen. Jack could have said at home and go, I sure would like to have been in the prison ministry. But one day, a vision was birthed within him. And he could see it. Now, he didn't know how he was going to get from point A to point B. But he saw it. And when he saw it, he started walking in that direction. Didn't you, Jackie? Okay, then let me pick at you for just a second. And what I'm trying to tell you is this. There's more. NIV says, Amplified says, where there is no vision, no redemptive, and I want to concentrate on the next word, revelations. It's plural. It's not singular, it's plural. You see that? So you've got this revelation to be where you are now. You are fulfilling that revelation. There is another revelation. Jack, I'm talking to you. I know you are. There's another revelation. God wants us to constantly be expanding our boundaries, our borders, our visions. See, honey, at your age, you can be anything you want to be. Absolutely, teetotally anything. See, I was hoping that Anna would be here today. Anna's got a vision. She wants to be an attorney. I want to tell her to scrap that vision. Let's head for the Supreme Court. Don't set your vision so low. So what do you want to do with your life, buddy? Because I'm going to tell you what is one of the worst things in all the world. Is to look back over your shoulder and say, I wished I had a. We've got to have our vision changed. And if you're going to sit around and start when you feel like it, you're never going to start. And that stand-up little illustration there of pointing your finger is just a physically demonstrative way of me trying to show you what it is I'm trying to tell you. You can, in your life, and ladies and gentlemen, I'm wanting to take this paintbrush and swipe a big swipe with it. I'm not talking about just your walk with Jesus. I'm talking about how you feel about yourself. I'm talking about your vocation. I'm talking about every aspect of your life. I'm talking about, for those of us who are married, I'm talking about our relationships with our wives or husbands, whichever happens to be. They can be more. My wife's been out of town for 3 or 4 days visiting with her sister. I told you that. And I'm like, I miss that woman so much. And yesterday I was talking to her on the phone, and when we got off the phone, I thought to myself, if this relationship can be any better than it is, it scares me to think that I would want that. Because I already miss her so much that if it was any more than what it was, I don't know what I would do. I wouldn't let her go out of town. You see what it is I'm saying? And the point I'm trying to make with that is this. Sometimes it's our fear. See, we don't make decisions according to vision. We don't make decisions according to vision. We make decisions based on memory of how it has been and our conditional responses. That's how we make decisions. Now, let me ask you a question. And in order for this illustration to work, I'll have to have your cooperation. I want you to answer this question, even if you're wrong, okay? But don't say anything out loud. Just raise your hand for me. Here's the question. Okay, don't anybody say the answer. Here's the question. A yield sign on the highway. It's yellow. Is it yellow? If it is, raise your hand, please. Is it yellow? Okay. Or is it red? If you think it's red, raise your hand. A yield sign on the highway is red, it's not yellow. It's red. Yield signs, ladies and gentlemen, are red. They're not yellow. It was changed. Used to be yellow. Anybody want to guess how long ago they changed the rules? 15 years ago, they changed from yellow to red. And most of you in this room thought they were still yellow. You know why? Because the yield sign's right in front of us and we don't see it. The vision is right in front of us and we don't see it. Let's come over here to a visionary. It is wonderful. More than wonderful. What you do, it can be a lot more. Not because you want it to be, but because the full, now, ladies and gentlemen, please hear me here because this is the, I got two crux points and this is one of them. You ready? It can be more than it is, not because you want it to be, but because in being more than it is, it gives us a fuller revelation of who He is. You see, I'm not asking, I'm not ready to hit the circuit and become a motivational speaker on how you can make more money. Because I frankly don't care about that. Let me tell you what it is I do care about. That the Lamb get all of His reward out of your life. That's what I'm interested in. That's all I really care about. That the Lamb get all of His reward out of your life and out of my life. That I constantly challenge myself to be more than I am. That I constantly challenge you to be more than you are. And that I hopefully somehow can birth. In fact, let me just back up from that. I cannot do it. But I pray that you will allow the Holy Spirit to birth inside of you the potential that is yours in Christ Jesus. What I want is for the wind of the Holy Spirit to blow through our lives and blow away all of our excuses. And bring inside of us the realization and the revelation that if we will do it, it can be done. Now, let me throw in a parenthesis here for a moment, okay? Because what happens with this kind of teaching is this. I walk out the door and I purposed in my heart that because the preacher said I could, I can be the next CEO of Nations Bank or Bank of America, whatever it's called these days. I'm old enough, I still call it NCMB. Okay. It's now called Wachovia. Right, I forgot about that. I'm not talking about God being obligated in any way, shape, form, or fashion for Him to help me fulfill what I want to be. I'm talking about God is standing ready, willing, and able to help us fulfill what it is He wants us to be in Him. And I cannot stand before you and tell you that I am all in Jesus that I can be. But what I am willing to stand before you and tell you is that I want to be all that I can be in Jesus. Do you know why with the company I work for I'm not a regional manager? Because I don't want to be. I wouldn't have the guy's headaches. Wouldn't have his job. They might would like for me to have it. But I've never indicated to them I'd even be willing to take it. Because I wouldn't be willing to take it. What color is a yield sign? It's red. It's not yellow. Nope. And it's not orange. And it changed over 15 years ago. Now, here's the thing, ladies and gentlemen. I missed something. Now, y'all know what's going to happen, don't you? The state is out there right now changing every yield sign between here and your house. At least that's what you're going to swear when you get home. I know they came out there and changed that. It was yellow last week. You don't have to trust me, but I already have. Let's not wake up 15 years from now to realize that things have changed. I remember like it was yesterday, the Sunday night, that God orchestrated circumstances and events to all come together at one time, at one place, on one night, on one day. And He said to me, "Son, you've always wanted to travel and sing for me. Make a decision." Now, I had a dozen reasons why I couldn't do it right then. I was in debt up to here. Tripp had just been born. Rebecca was a baby. I had a dozen reasons why I couldn't. And God brought me down to one place at one time, as vivid as I'm standing here in front of you, and said, "Make a decision. Stop talking. And either do something or stop talking." And one of the things I said at that time was, "I don't want to wake up when I'm 60 and say, 'What if?'" Now, please hear me. Let me do this other cautionary thing that I'll end with my final point. I'm not talking about being irresponsible. The preacher said for me to follow my dream. You know, and if it kills you along the way, so be it. Bless God. Yeah. Get a dozen calls next week. I didn't say be irresponsible. But I said that if there's a burn, throw some fuel on it. And then I said, if there's not a burn, find yourself some fuel. That's what I said. Why do I want you to be all you can be? Because Jesus is worthy. That was really my sermon point right there. And the second one is this. I saw a commercial last week. It's not one that's on TV. This was somewhere else. It was an advertisement for this resort place. And the guy who's doing the voice overdubs in this thing starts off the video with this question. I never even heard another word he said. He should have put this question at the end so I could have seen the video and heard what it was all about. But it was the very first question out. And the minute I heard it, everything, my eyes went blind and my ears went deaf. And I was just sitting there and I was trying to answer this question. This was the question the guy asked. He said, "How old were you when you let go of the hand of imagination?" How old were you when you let go of the hand of imagination? I've been haunted by that question all week. When did I stop? I'm going to use the word dreaming. I'm going to go to another word. When did I stop dreaming? To really bring it down to where we live, ladies and gentlemen, when did I stop believing? Either in myself or in God in me. When did I let go of the hand of imagination?
When I grew up.
Well, maybe we got too old. Maybe we just got too old. I cannot tell you what your vision, what the vision that God has for you for your life. That's between you and God. My responsibility is to challenge you to be all that you can be in that vision. And this really sort of hits home too. Because, let me share this with you and we'll close. The man that I work for, his name is Michael Dortch. He's coming to see me tomorrow because they're going to close down my store. I have four other opportunities that are available to me. But somewhere between here and there, there's a lot of work that's got to be done, and I have four other people that I got to tell tomorrow are out of jobs. One of them being a single mother with two children. That one I dread the most. Hardest worker, most conscientious, most reliable person I've got. Isn't it always that way? And I got to tell her tomorrow she shouldn't have a job anymore. You need to be praying for my wife. Is that fair enough? But I feel grabbed by the shoulders, shaken, and I hear God say, "Where's your vision? Where's your vision? Where are you going to put your trust? What you going to hold on to? Where are you going to go from here?" You know, I don't have any answers for any of those because I'm waiting on Him to tell me what my vision is, where it is I'm going. I do have an answer to where my trust is. In you and you alone, the cleft of the rock, do I trust. You've never failed me in my 45 years of living. I don't expect the next 45 to be any different. Not any different. I don't believe, ladies and gentlemen, what I call the little red boost theology. I can make it, I can make it, I can. But I do believe and the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. I do believe the Bible when it says, through Him all things are possible. And so I want to ask you, just what is it you need in your life? Just what is it you do want to do? Where is it that you're headed? I can't answer those questions for you. But I know someone who has a desire to work through your life so much that He died for you. Follow your dreams. Follow your dreams. And don't let anybody tell you no. You know, for years in management, I'm supposed to be the problem solver. And a few years ago, I started challenging myself that when I'm asked a question, that before I answer it, I say, "What do you think? What do you think we ought to do, John, about this problem? How do you think we can solve this? Where do you think we need to go from here in this deal?" You know what the answer I get back is? "Oh no." Because it's easier to come ask me than it is to think about it. It's easy to walk out the door and go, "That was really good. I enjoyed that. Thank you very much." And then go home and grab the remote and sit down and be like we've always been. That's the easy way. But we rob the Lamb of His reward when we do that. What I'm going to ask you to do is to seek His face. You know, if I say to Him, "Lord, what do you want out of me?" He's not going to be going, "Well, let me think about that a minute." He knows what He wants. That's not the question. The question is, am I willing to listen to what He wants? Therein lies the question. The question is not, "Can I?" The question is, "Will I?" There's the question. "Now unto Him who is able to do exceedingly..." What a word. "And abundantly above all that you could ever ask or think. To Him be glory and honor forever." Can you say amen? Jesus, to You be honor and glory forever. Birth within our hearts Your desire for us. Blow by Your Holy Spirit all the confusion and doubts and fears out of our lives, that we would be all in Your kingdom that You believe that we can be. In Jesus' name, amen. The Lord bless you. Hope you have a great and wonderful week. Give them heaven out there. Remind you of the Bibles and the Baptist hymnals that are out there. There's some shelving and wood and stuff like that in the building out here. They'll be open in just a minute if you want to look, see if you want any of it.